I will help you with this. What's embarrassing is that I need help. But my wife has been saying that for years. You need help. Oh, boy. Thank you, sir. You're the man. He answers the call. Oh, my goodness. But I didn't even have to say a word. You're the best. Well, I've been excited about this message, and then the hurricane came, and I got not excited about the message, and then the hurricane didn't come, and I started realizing, oh my gosh, I'm not done with this message. And today is going to be really practical, because we've been talking about the series called Dust, named after a blessing, an ancient Jewish blessing, that may you follow your rabbi so closely that you're covered in his dust. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And Jesus is our rabbi. I mean, even throughout the Gospels, he's called rabbi or teacher. And he is the one we follow. And so as we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about different aspects of what it means to be a disciple. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And oops, sorry, I should turn that on. Next week is the beginning of football season. And for those of you who like any sport, it doesn't even matter anymore, because so many of you like soccer or football that you made fun of me last year. So next year, regardless of your favorite sport, we want to just encourage you, wear the colors of your favorite team. And the reason we do this is because, one, it's just fun. Two, there is nothing like Patriots and Dolphins fans arguing out in the lobby. It's just a joy, and I'm one of them. So it's just a great way to connect together, fight together, be family, you know? And so we want to invite you to do that. But as we go back to the discipleship issue in following Jesus, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the disciples of Jesus invite others to follow Jesus, you know, where we look for opportunities to bless people and love on people. We also explored 2 weeks ago how disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, were a family. That we're not just a service. Church isn't just something that we come do together, but we are a people. The church is a people, a family. A family that doesn't just like come and get spiritual services, but we're a family that participates in the mission together, because God's mission is a family mission. It's a mission of people, of us working together. And so we talked about how we're all ministers. We're all Moses. There's no Moses anymore. I'm not your Moses where I say, let's go this way, and we all just go. But really, Jesus is the Moses. I mean, Jesus is the one we follow, and we're all Moses now. We are all leading. We're all participating together. And so we talked about the importance of life groups and how important it is for us to connect together. And I have to share this. If you are not in a life group or you are not in some kind of intimate community, you are missing out on a huge part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You're missing out. You need community. Regardless of if you feel that need or not, we were designed to work together, to care for each other, to read the Bible and study the scriptures together. And right now, we have 13 English life groups that are available. You can go to our homepage, and down towards the bottom, just click, you know, about you were interested in a life group, and you will see 13 different groups that are open. You can sign up today or find out information online today. If you're like, I don't know how to go online, or I don't want to do that, then just put on your connection card, interested in life group. We'll help you this week, as long as the hurricane, anyway, yeah, you know. But today is application for what we talked about last week. Because what we talked about last week is the immense, amazing, incomprehensible treasure that Jesus is. That you know, he said that you come to him, you die to yourself so that you can find life. And what you realize is that you're not sacrificing anything. You're trading up. You're exchanging death for life. You're exchanging hopelessness for hopefulness. You're exchanging brokenness for wholeness. I mean, when we give our lives, when we sacrifice everything for Jesus, yes, we might die on this earth. Many of the early apostles, almost all of them, died on this earth, yet they felt like it was nothing. Giving up their life was nothing compared to what they were gaining in Jesus Christ. And that's what we talked about last week. One of my favorite messages that I've had the opportunity to preach, because I love talking about how amazing Jesus is, because he is amazing, and it reminds me how amazing he is. And but today we're gonna apply that. We're going to look at some ways that we get to respond to Jesus. And so that's today's message, responding to our rabbi. Because I think we forget he initiated the relationship. He reached out to us, and we get to choose, do we respond or do we not? Do we love him or do we not? And so last week I shared a story about my wife and how she, early on, right before we had met, she ended an engagement with her fiance. And then I joked about how I let her grieve for a couple of weeks before I asked her out. But I actually have to confess, I lied to you, because she asked me out first. You didn't? The pen?
I think you asked.
Hmm. I don't remember this. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. Because I remember you invited me to a singles event at a church. Thank you. She said I'm right. That hasn't happened in 10 years. Okay, so I'm remembering correctly. Okay. Oh my gosh. This is the weirdest day of my life. Okay, so here's how I remember it. Do not change anything, okay? Correct it at home. Here's how I remember it. Wow. So we were both at a church event together. We happened to stand by each other for a while. We started talking, got to know each other. As the event is ending, we're walking out to the parking lot together, and she invites me to a singles event at a church event where they were watching Monday Night Football together. And I'm like, football and a girl, this is like the best night of my life, right? And so I was incredibly interested in going, yet I was so dumb that I didn't let her know it. In fact, I'm still dumb. I wasn't really good with girls. It was obvious by what happened, because she asked me to go, and I reach into my back pocket. This was before phones and calendars on your phone and everything. I reach in my back pocket to look for my calendar because I wanted to see if I was available. But worse, it gets worse, I forgot my calendar. So I tell her, thinking I'm being considerate, Raylynn, I don't know if I'm available that night. Let me go home, get my calendar, I'll let you know. I thought I was being a good guy. I don't know what I'm doing with women, obviously. Because she thought I was just blowing her off. I wasn't. I mean, like, literally, I was so excited. I drove home, I went in, I got my calendar immediately. Yes, I'm free! Called her. I would love to go out with you. But I was so broke at the time that when she said, do you want to go get dinner? I was like, she said, how about Dutch treat? I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, I can eat bread and I can eat a side salad. Okay. I did not make her feel like I was interested. Have you ever been there? Have you ever put yourself out there and then were rejected, or worse? You put yourself out there. Maybe you asked somebody out. Maybe it was just you were trying to apply for a job and you sent in the resume and you heard nothing back. Isn't that the worst? Or you get rejected. That hurts bad. But when you don't even hear anything, there's not even enough consideration. Like, what if I'd have gone home and I never called back? And you're like, what a lame guy. Have you ever put yourself out there and never had feedback? You didn't know how, if this was a relationship, if they were interested like you were interested. Because sometimes you feel like you're the only one. There are marriages and boyfriend-girlfriend situations that you feel like you're the only one giving in the relationship. It's just give, 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 give. And you know that's not good. And every once in a while, though, you experience this kind of relationship where, like, a child comes running with arms wide open and they just want to be held. And you go, oh, you're receiving. And there's like, you're giving, they're receiving, they're giving, you're receiving. And you go, that's special. Or those times when you're I was thinking, I'll sit down with Raylan and we'll watch a Hallmark movie for 2 hours. And, now I like them because I'm an idiot so much. I can't believe I just said that out loud, too. But in the beginning, I was like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Let's back that up. For the podcast, last 10 seconds, let's just remove that. Man, let me stick with my notes. Where am I? There's times that you just do nice things for somebody because you love them. I think about, like, there's been times where Ray Lynn just wandered around Bass Pro Shop with me, and there was nothing she was interested in looking at. But I'm like, look at the paintball guns, look at the knives, look at the air, all that kind of stuff. And you just think about, there are things that you do for people that you're letting them know that you're interested in them. Because even if you don't like it, you participate, you show love. See, that's a relationship, giving and receiving. Both of you, both giving, both receiving. Both parties pursuing one another, whether it be romantic or best friends or brother, sister, brother, whatever. Some people, you might call this like flirting or romancing, but or just best friends. Whatever it is, relationships that are healthy pursue one another. It's like a dance. Like one person gives, one receives, and then it's back and forth. That's what builds relationships. That's what builds deep connections. And that is exactly what God desires from us as well. Both giving, both receiving. Doing this dance together where we're both pursuing one another. I want you to see a passage of scripture that Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians. This is just so cool. He says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family, his own family. God decided in advance to bring us into a relationship by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So he made the relationship possible through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You give God great pleasure. I just can't say that enough. I mean, the Zephaniah passage earlier, he delights in you. So, verse 6, in response to God's initiation of a relationship, we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. God chooses us because we give him pleasure. We respond in kind. That is a relationship. That's what God wants. Think about the pictures that we see in the Bible of God. Jesus called God Father or Daddy. Our daddy, our Abba, the one who provides our needs, the one who protects us, the one who pursues us even when we run away. God is like a daddy. Jesus also said that we are friends of God. We walk together. We participate with him to fulfill the mission together. We are partners. Jesus was called our rabbi. He leads and teaches us. He's called the great physician. He restores our brokenness. Isaiah portrays God as a mother nursing her child, comforting us when we hurt. See, the image of God, the image of God we see in the scriptures is this desire for us, this delight in us, and it's all throughout the Bible. Pictures of love and delight, desire to be loved and to be delighted in. I don't think we recognize it that God's story with humanity is a love story. Most of us don't think of this story with God as a love story. We think of it as a story of God's judgment or a story of God's toleration. Jesus died on the cross. The judgment is done in him. It is a love story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a story of God pursuing and us being invited to respond. That's a relationship. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, because he initiates, he invites us into a family relationship, and we respond. How do we do that? That's what I want to share with you today. And I'm going to share some examples and ideas and resources with you about how to respond, but I want to ask this of you for the application today. you're going to hear a lot of different things. We're going to spend some time maybe doing some of these things, but for an application, would you do me a favor and grab just one? Grab just one and say, I'm going to try that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pursue God in this way, because following Jesus is one dusty step at a time. One dusty step at a time. Pick one. You are not where I am in the faith, and I am not where you are. There are some things I probably am farther along, and there is no doubt in my mind that there are some things you are farther along. We can learn from each other. And so take these, take one, and begin developing a relationship with God. Because it's like fostering any relationship. And this is what, I know I'm going to be a little bit simplistic today, so forgive me for that. But I don't think it's as hard as what we make it to be. Because what does a normal relationship look like? A good, healthy, normal relationship. Maybe healthy relationships aren't that normal. But what does a normal, healthy, good relationship look like? Really, there's three parts to it, right? There's acknowledging the value of the other person, and there's listening, and there's talking. Think about it. You spend time with people. You give them gifts, especially, you know, when you're dating, not after you're married as much. But that's a different story for another sermon. But when you give gifts, when you do nice things for people, when you say they are pretty, or man, you smell good, or I love being with you, when you acknowledge people's value, your desire, that sets the stage for a relationship. And again, I'm thinking, it could be brother to brother. It could be best friend to best friend. It could be spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever. When you acknowledge somebody, their value to you, you're setting the stage for listening and talking. You're setting the stage for communication, for spending time together, sharing together what you care about, how you're doing, what concerns you have. And it takes effort. If we do what's natural, we're always going to be selfish. So it takes work. It takes energy. We have to think about it sometimes until it becomes more natural. We have to continually learn how to be better at relationships. But the rewards are so worth it. You know, you can sit in a Perkins. And I say Perkins because this is where it's happened. Ray Lynn and I, for our anniversary every November-ish, November 4th, we try to go out. No, I remember it. I just was like, is that okay to say out loud? But then I'm like, it's an anniversary. Yeah, it's not my Social Security number. We're okay. So we always go off for a weekend. That's kind of like our deal. We learned a long time ago, we need time away from kids, from normal life and all that. And so we go off, and because it's November 4th, we always enjoy, we'll have an extended breakfast somewhere where we both have out our phones and we have, you know, our Safari, Amazon, and everything. And we put together our Christmas list for the year, for that year. And so this is just something that we've done for decades now. And it's fun. But I remember there was this one time where we looked over and, well, actually, let me back up. Every time we're there, you can see people throughout the restaurant. And I realize we're doing the same thing, but we're having community together when we're doing the on our phones, because we're like, well, did you find this? And we're putting these lists together. But too often, you see people just looking at their phones and they're typing. And you're like seeing a couple and nobody's ever talking together. And they're just typing. And you're like, that's a sad relationship. I mean, at least we're typing and going, what did you get? You know. But there was this one time, there was this old couple, and they didn't have phones, and they were just talking, and they were leaning over the table, looking into each other's eyes, and they were having this great conversation, and you're like, that's a relationship. I wonder how long they've been together, 50 years, 40 years? I mean, they were just eye to eye connecting. It's worth it. It takes work to become like that, but when you look at what they had, you go, I want that. It's worth it. It's the same thing with God. It's the same three things. We just have different names for them. And the names sometimes confuse us. And the names make it hard sometimes. But because acknowledging who God is, we call that worship. Listening is reading the scriptures and reflecting and just being quiet before the Lord, allowing him to sing over you. And then talking, you know, and honestly, praying, it could be called listening and talking, but we pray and we talk to him and share our needs with him. You know, I would bet there are many people in this room right now. You've attended church a long time. You maybe right now serve in ministries, and you feel, you know, you're a part of this church family, and you're embarrassed to admit it, but you really don't know how to read the Bible. You don't know where to start, and you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to do. And that's okay. I'm not here to judge you. That's actually why we're talking about this today, because I think there's just some basic helps to teach us how to acknowledge God in worship and listen to Him through the Bible and through just being quiet, and how to talk to Him in prayer. So I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, I want to ask you to pull it out today, because we're going to use it. If you don't, that's okay. You're just going to miss out. I'm just kidding. I want to share some resources with you, though. And if you have a phone, you might even want to take some pictures of what's on the screen, maybe the slides that you're interested in. You can also always go to the YouVersion event page and find out more about what. You can even see the slides on there. So I want to look at worship first. Most of us think worship means coming to church. Of course, that's a part of it. But when we're here, it's beautiful. I've heard this way of looking at it, that Mike and the worship team, when they lead worship, they are setting the table. They are preparing the meal, and it is up to us to feast with Jesus. They prepare it, but they can't make you worship. They can't make you fall in love with Jesus. They can't make you acknowledge how amazing God is and how much He loves you. But what they can do is set the table, and you can decide to come. And so we sing songs that God is holy and good and precious and worthy. We recognize His desire for us in these songs and respond with desire for Him. And sometimes, I love it, sometimes the lyrics are just rich and deep. In just a few minutes, as we close today, we're going to sing a song, and these are the words, and these are just amazing. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. Oh, that's not it. That's the verse I read earlier. Let's go again. No, I'm just kidding. Where is that? I didn't even have it. Huh. I changed them and deleted them. Well, let me read you the words. This is powerful. You stood before creation. Eternity is in your hands. We're going to sing these words. You spoke all life into motion. My soul now to stand. You stood before my failure. You carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders. My soul now to stand. I mean, we can sing words that are deep and rich and tell, they just proclaim what Jesus has done for us and who God is, and they're just deep words. But then at other times we sing songs like we just did. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And we sing it over and over and over. And I know some of you go, why do we sing the same words over and over and over? And it's the same reason I tell Raylin I love her over and over and over. It's the same reason I tell my kids they're special over and over. Because when we sing the same lyric over, I can close my eyes. I don't need to focus on the screen anymore. And I can just have this emotional connection with God. Did you know that emotional connections with God are okay? It doesn't all have to be rational and smart and up here. But sometimes, I mean, isn't that what a relationship is? Where it's, you're growing together, you're knowing more about each other, but you're having emotional connection as well. And you could just close your eyes and listen and talk to Him, sharing what's on your mind, sharing what you're thinking about, telling God how much you love Him. When we sing these things, these same lyrics over and over, think of it this way. Every time you go, gosh, I feel like we've sang this a million times, stop singing that lyric and start talking to God. You have now a platform. The stage is set. The table is set. Feast. Pray for the things that are on your heart. Allow God's Spirit to minister to you. He is so good. Actually, I want to ask you to just shout out some things, because God is so good. What do you love about God? A word or two. What do you love about God? Just shout it out. He is faithful. He is what else? Good, holy, righteous. Love, I thought I heard volunteering, but I think it was two words that came together. I'm like, well, he's volunteering. What else? God is graceful, precious, merciful, righteous, just, accepting, loving, forgiving. How many of you need forgiveness? I mean, you just know you've messed it up. Me too. God is so good. See, worship is not just singing to God. It's allowing him to minister to us, to sing over us. It's when we worship together, we are setting aside time for intimacy. It's no different than when Raylan and I decide to go off for our anniversary and just spend time together. We will walk St. Augustine looking at stuff, having no money, and just walk up and down the streets just to be together and to eat the pizza that's there. But besides that, we love just spending time together. And that's what's happening when we're in this place and we're just singing some of these songs and it's just my time with God. It's about intimacy. But it doesn't have to be limited to here, and you know that. Worship in the car. Worship when you run, when you clean the house. Worship doesn't have to be music. Music is just a part of worship. Sometimes you can listen to a great podcast or a great sermon or a great Bible study. I love listening to books while I run. Sometimes I sit down to spend time with Jesus. I'm like, there are times I wake up and it's early in the morning, and there's times I'm like, I don't have the words today, Lord. I got nothing. I feel bankrupt. And so maybe sometimes I'll just open the scriptures, but sometimes I open up YouTube and I just search some of my favorite artists. And I'll just listen to some of their songs that they lead in worship. And sometimes it'll be exciting, like my favorite group in the world, Planet Shakers. Shout out if they ever could invite me to Australia to watch their concert. That would be life-changing. But I will watch Planet Shakers, and they're singing some fun, amazing song. And I'll see that, and forgive me, and this goes back to my Hallmark, but the dancers are on there, and they're having this worship experience with all of these young people, college students. I mean, like thousands and thousands of college students singing these songs that I know already by heart. And there have been times it's just so funny. The song is so upbeat and powerful, and I'm watching these students just dancing and shouting, and you can see this love for Jesus in their face, and I just start weeping. And I'm like, it's early, nobody in my family's up, which is good, because I have the headphones on, but if they saw me, why is he crying to that song? It's not even slow and like moving. I just like overfilled with joy that, oh, Jesus, he isn't just doing things in my life. Look at these students. Look at the joy. Look at the energy. Look at the fullness that they're experiencing. Oh God, I want to experience that. How long has it been, Lord, since I've experienced that? And then there's other times I'll listen to one of my other favorite artists, and the band and the worship team, they just laugh because I talk about them all the time, but they're Lincoln Brewster. I'll watch one of his YouTube videos or worship videos, and they will move me deeply because the words are so good. And actually, we've sang some here, and some of you have said, that was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen or heard. And it's been some of these songs, and they'll change your life. But singing isn't just the only way to worship. I want to share a scripture with you. This is a verse, a passage that Jeremiah the prophet said about King Josiah. Look at what he said. This is Jeremiah talking. But a beautiful cedar palace does not make a great king. It doesn't matter how nice the White House is. Just because you live there doesn't mean you're a great king, right? Great. Your father, that was not any kind of political statement, just letting you know. Just trying to make it relevant. Your father Josiah also had plenty to eat and drink, but he was just and right in all of his dealings. That's why God blessed him. Look at this. He gave justice and help to the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know the Lord? So no singing here, no going to church, no Bible study. For Josiah, one of the ways he worshiped God was just to live his life in a way that honors God, that serves people who are in need, to give justice and help to the poor and needy, to do right in all your dealings. Because worship is so much more than singing. It's how we live our lives. It's how we treat and help people. It's how we drive. And I say that over and over because I'm astounded at Orlando's driving. I am. And I mean, just the other day, somebody in my family was cut off by somebody we know. They didn't know that we knew them. And we were like, what the heck? That's actually what we said. We were clean. What the heck? And I was like, oh, thank God they didn't have an Avalon Church bumper magnet. Because, oh my gosh, we drive so bad. And you don't think about it, but even the way we drive, how we treat our neighbors, what we do with our dogs, the neighbor's dog's poo that's in our yard, it's all worship. It's all worship. It's how we live our lives. All right. So worship is acknowledging who God is, that he is Lord, recognizing his value and his worth, appreciating all he's done. And so worship is a posture. Worship, like any relationship, acknowledging who God is the posture for connecting. And then it goes towards listening and communication. And I wanted to share a couple of things about communicating with God, talking and listening and talking. And I want to, I hesitated to say this because some of you are going to email me. That's fair. Go ahead. We'll talk about it. But if you are new to the faith, or you have been a Christian for a long time, you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, and you still go, I don't know where to start in the Bible. Look at me. Please, oh please, oh please, do not start in the beginning. If you've never read the Bible, if you don't know where to start, do not get the Bible in a year and start reading in Genesis, because you will give up by Leviticus. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just telling you right now. See, as followers of Jesus, we view everything in Scripture through the eyes of Jesus. He is our lens. So rather than start in Genesis, start in Matthew, in the New Testament, where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we hear about Jesus, where we hear his story, we hear his teachings. How can you read the Bible through the lens of Jesus if you don't know much about Jesus? Okay, so I'm not anti-Genesis, actually, in you know, the Old Testament. I love it. I love it. It's just not the place to start, okay? Hear me? Everybody know that Don loves the Old Testament? Okay, I do. I just know that it's not the place to start. We start with Jesus, all right? And then, after you've read about Jesus and you have the PhD in Jesus, just kidding, but once, because you're going to read about Jesus and go, what in the world did he mean there? And you're going to call me and I'm going to go, I know. I don't know what he meant either there, but let's figure it out together. But so you read about Jesus, and then you can read Acts. Because what happens is you have the stories of Jesus, and then when you read Acts, you see how the church, the first century church, those who were eyewitnesses with Jesus, how did they live out this faith in Jesus? And the reason you start with these five books is because they're stories. They're true stories, but they're narrative. They're stories. They are easier to read. You can follow along. And some of the times you'll laugh and go, was Jesus trying to be funny there? He probably was. Because there are times where you can crack up. If you understand what's going on, read these stories. They're the best place to start. After you're done with the stories, then keep going. You have the letters. They call them epistles. And you're like, what's an epistle? Nobody knows what an epistle is. Let's call it what it is. It's a letter. All right? And so you have these letters from eyewitnesses, people who saw the resurrected Jesus, writing letters to different churches, helping them know how to do this following of Jesus thing. And what's amazing is these letters were written by people who gave up everything to follow Jesus. I mean, following Jesus truly cost them everything. If you want to learn how to read the Bible, if you want to even understand how to read some of this stuff, I want to invite you. There are two life groups this semester. I'm leading one and I'm trying, no, I know, oh, yeah, way to go. We have 13 of them and you're only highlighting two and you're one of them. I know. But we have two, how to read the Bible and one on the Gospels. Sign up for a group. We are actually going to be going through the Scriptures, looking at the Scriptures, trying to figure out what they mean. They're going to be powerful. Do not, you have no excuse why, because you can't understand the Bible. It is a journey. But let's do this thing together. All right, so enough of that. I want to share some really great resources with you about the Bible, about how to understand the Bible. If you choose not to be a part of Minor Doug's life group, then shame on you. But there are still resources. I'm just kidding. Many of you are already in a life group. I'm just kidding. You stay with your life group because the Bible was intended to be read together. Think about this. How many people had a Bible in the first century? I can give this one to you easy. Why would you not have a Bible in the first century? Because there were no printing. If you had a Bible, it's because you wrote the whole thing out. How did you get access to one to write the whole thing out? Well, you were a scribe. How were you a scribe? Well, there weren't many of them. So every synagogue would have a copy of the Scriptures. Paul would write a letter, and they would send the letter to the church, and then somebody would copy it, and they'd send it over here, and send it over here. And so now there's just millions and millions of these copies, not really, thousands and thousands of copies of these letters all over the place, because people were handwriting them, copying them. So nobody had their own copy. That's why they memorized it, because they had it here. They didn't get to read it. And so the Bible was meant to be read in community. How do I know that? Because the only time you got to read the Bible was in community. It was when you were at the synagogue and somebody opened the Scriptures and they read them. And everybody would talk about what they thought that meant. And they would argue and fight and have a great debate. And then they'd shake hands and hug each other and go out to, you know, good to TGI Fridays or something. But the Bible was meant to be read in community. So that's why you need a life group. Boy, I keep going back to life group. You'd think it was important or something. But anyway, let me tell you about the Bible Project. Bibleproject.com or .org. Not hard. Just Google the Bible Project. This thing is written or created by two men who are followers of Jesus. One is a PhD / theologian / pastor, and the other one is a video storyteller. They were best friends since like forever. They came together to create this ministry, and what they have done is every single book of the Bible, there's like a 5 to 8 minute intro that is over the top good. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. I exaggerate a lot. I'm a pastor. It's part of my job description, but this I am not. Every time I start to read a new book of the Bible, and I mean, how many times have I read the Bible? I don't know, many, but every time I start a new book, I watch the Bible Project's intro to that book, because every time I see new things and I go, it reminds me again, what is the big picture of this book? They also have videos about what is the big picture of the New Testament, the big picture of the Old Testament, and then they have just like dozens of videos on themes. What is sin? What is grace? What does the covenant mean? What all of these words that you're reading in Scripture and you're going, I don't know what that means. Many of them, they have a video explaining that exact thing. It's amazing. And it's everything is free. My family, we choose to give to them monthly because everything they do is free. They are a nonprofit, 100%. They ask for no money. There's no commercials. I mean, it is a resource for you. Take advantage of it. The other resource that I want to share with you is the YouVersion Bible app. I'm not sure if you have this already on your phone, but I wanted to share some things with you. So get out your phone if you have it, because we're going to do some playing. And this is going to be fun. I have never done this before. We're going to find out if it works. I know I haven't mirrored yet, so it's coming now. Okay, so the YouVersion, excuse me as I'm going through puberty again, the YouVersion Bible app, it should be up. Is it? Not you, but him back there. Remember, yeah. Oh, and that's not it. That's your home screen. So we had it working like 1 minute before you came in, everybody. So my hunch is that my screen is on the other side and you have to drag it over. Can you see mine? If not, that was sad. This was going to be awesome. I see it. so we can all turn around and look at my screen. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Wow. Well, if you guys wanted to know, we are in 60 hertz. Oh, there it is. All right. So if you have the YouVersion Bible, you can open it up. And I wanted to show you some things on this because it's amazing. If you notice, and I realize your taskbar is still up there, but if you guys can see it, it's okay. At the bottom, and it's really right above the Apple taskbar, you see home, read, plans, search, and more. This is where I wanted to show you a couple of things, because some of you, I talk about YouVersion devotions all the time, and you go, I don't know what this is. I want to show you what this is, because it's really good. But I want to jump first. On the bottom right, it says more, and I realize how tiny it is for you. It's tiny for me, too. I have to wear glasses. But if you hit more, I want to show you on the left side. Do you see where it says verse of the day, videos, events? If you go to events, it finds the closest events to you. And if you notice, Avalon Church Orlando, Avalon Church Espanol, Orlando, and then Orlando, the reason there's two Orlando, oh, that's funny, I didn't turn off my notifications, so we're going to have fun. We'll see who texts me today. Avalon Church, the first one says life groups. That's the discussion questions. If your life group wants to talk about what we discuss, it's right there. And then the all of the slides from today are in here. So I just wanted to show you, though, real quick. If you go to plans, I have lots of plans on the left because I wanted to show you some. Had a neighbor is number three. When I shared this the other day, I give you actual, you know, I give you a link to go right to it, but this is what I was talking about, and there's, 10 days on this plan that you can look at, and they have a devotional and scriptures that are part of that every day. If you want to know how to read the Bible, use a plan. In fact, you can search how to read the Bible, and they have plans for that. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I love you guys. Let's just turn that off. That was fun. Oh my gosh, I did not see that coming. How could I not see that coming? All right, why don't we go back to the other screen? That's funny. Oh my gosh. Can we really hit that output button? Oh my gosh. See, I don't even know what to say. But let me finish with this. There it is! Thank you! Really? So if you just hit output, it doesn't cover it up again? That's because you guys mess with that in the back. Yeah, that's okay. I don't have anything for a few minutes, so you guys figure it out. You can probably hit blackout. There it is. I wanted to share with you about prayer because this is really important. All right, this is important. Take off the laughter. This is important. I was in a life group one time, and it was for new Christians and people who weren't followers of Christ yet. We were talking about a lot of things. And we made a deal in the life group that at the end of every session, when we close in prayer, I would ask for volunteers to pray. And I encourage them, everybody, at least one time this semester, volunteer to pray. As you can imagine, praying out loud is probably one of the greatest fears in the history of the world. We would rather speak to a million people than actually have to pray in front of four sometimes. It's the funniest thing because we're worried. God's going to judge us. God cares deeply about how the words that we say. And if we do it wrong, he won't hear us anymore. And nothing could be farther from the truth. But so we're in this life group, and we were probably two-thirds of the way into the semester, and I said, who would like to pray tonight? And one of the guys in the group said, it's my turn. He'd never prayed before. In fact, he did not claim to be a follower of Christ. He was still exploring his faith. In fact, he wasn't even sure he believed in God. And he said, I will pray. His prayer went something like this. God, I'm new at this, and frankly, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. That's how we, I know people are like, did he just say that? I'm just quoting. He really did pray those words. And then he kept going. When he finished his prayer, the entire circle, there wasn't a dry eye in the circle. That was one of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard. Because talk about childlike faith. This is a guy who was coming, he had no preconceived notions, had no idea what to say, and he just prayed his heart. I'm telling you, it started with a curse. I think that might have been God's favorite prayer of the whole semester, because it was truly a childlike prayer. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Look at me, because we're going to be closing in just a minute. God isn't judging how well you pray. When you pray, whether you're alone or in a group, you are not talking to those around you. You are talking to your daddy. And my kids can use the right English. They can use the right good grammar, bad grammar. It doesn't matter. I love hearing from my children, and God is no different. God just wants us to have a good heart. Don't try to fool him. He already knows. He knows the depth of your mess. He loves you anyway, and he wants to hear from you. You do not need to worry about the right words. You guys can come up here. You know, I want to encourage you. How do you learn to pray? Well, those devotions and YouVersion will help. But one of my favorite things to do is read the Psalms. Do you realize the Psalms were Jesus' prayer book? The Psalms have prayers of praise, prayers asking for forgiveness, prayers questioning God, why do you allow bad things to happen to me? The Psalms ask God for justice against one's enemies. I mean, sometimes the Psalms pray prayers we would never pray because we're like, that's not okay. That's terrible. Exactly. This is people pouring out their heart in the midst of grief and pain going, God, I can't believe you're letting this happen. See, the Psalms teach us that God's a big boy and he can handle our prayers. It doesn't matter. Just be real with him. He can handle it. You do not have to have the right words. There are so many tools to help us learn how to pray. There are prayer books, which I encourage. In fact, if you go to that events, there's some slides that have some prayer books I would encourage you to utilize. I won't be able to get to all of them, but I want to close with this. Could you go to the very last slide? It's a verse in Isaiah. You got it. This is God's word to his people. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Hard to imagine, isn't it? A mother with her baby, forgetting the baby. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Even if that were possible, and it's not likely, but even if it were possible, I would not forget you, God says. And this is this, I love this. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hand. If God could have a tattoo, it would be your name. He has written your name on the palm of his hand. That's how much God loves you. Only silly people put tattoos on their body of temporary things. I saw one guy had Xbox, and I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, Xbox is great, but 10 years from now, 20, 30, can you imagine being an 80-year-old guy and you have Nintendo, you know, on, anyway. When you put a tattoo on your body, it's usually something incredibly precious to you. Isaiah is saying, God is saying through Isaiah, more than a mother nursing her child, more than the love that she has for that child, I love you. I've written your name on my palm. That's how much God loves you. He wants to connect. He wants a relationship. We're going to sing this song. May this song just be fostering that relationship. May this song be an opportunity to connect deeply with God. Let's pray together. We'll stand and sing. Lord Jesus, I don't understand how much you love us. I mean, it's tough for me to fathom that kind of love, but you do. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what you've given us. I'm so grateful for your pursuit of us. I'm just so sorry that for most of us, we have this feeling that we have to respond some certain way and do things exactly right and follow all the right procedures to know you. But the reality is it's a relationship. Help us, Lord. Help us understand and grasp the depth of that relationship. You have pursued us. We are just called to respond. We do that now. We do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's sing.